listening to Look Who's Talking. I am Cameron Minter. I am your co-host and our wonderful Head Start director,
hey.
Jessica Coffey.
Hey, y'all.
She is your host. What's going on, Jessica?
Not much, Cam.
What?
You know, being outside in these streets, being hot.
Is it hot?
It is hot outside. What would Nelly say? It's getting hot in here. No, it is hot outside and I don't want to go back.
It truly is.
You see,
man.
I took my wig off.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe.
I got to let my hair breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so
sick. It's too hot for a wig, Kim.
I agree. I don't wear them, but I imagine that's a hot hat.
It's hot. It's a hot hat. However, in the wintertime, it's perfect.
Wow. That's what's up. So it's summertime, and I know
summer.
We've been out in the pools.
Yeah.
Meaning
you, because I have not.
Come on, Jessica. Get in the pool. What's the holdup of you getting in the pool?
So, Cam, I used to work at a pool when I was a teenager for 4 years.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the water was milky. And I said,
So did you ever watch them clean the pool?
Uh-huh.
So what's the process like?
Well, there's a natural filtration system that the pool goes in even when people are in there.
Mm-hmm.
However, if there's any fecal matter that got in the pool when everyone's in, we have to like shut the entire pool down.
So
they'll have to clean the pool. And
I just went to the pool in Georgetown and it ended abruptly because somebody threw up in the water. And, you know, we went to like the last 2 hours, so we didn't have so much crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like 15 minutes before it closed. And we was like, okay. So they was like, everybody get out, you know. And they was like, no, we're done. We're done.
Like we used to shut the pool down if anyone did, you know, did number two.
Wow.
However, I'm sure everyone's swimming in pee.
No doubt.
I wish there was a little... If someone's in the water, like a little green or purple.
I saw that in a movie or something.
Because that's not real.
I know, right?
It would be hilarious.
So embarrassing.
The pool will be closed every day.
Wow.
I think so.
Wow. Okay, do you go to like lakes and stuff? Do you?
No.
Okay.
I went to the lake one time and saw a snake. Swimming, and I said, I'm getting out.
Right.
I need to see what's in the water.
I can't tell you this story. I was going on a men's Christian retreat, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, it's going to be kumbaya. We're going to be singing and praying at the fire and, and blah, blah. So we get there, and it was really weird. But the main thing that got me was, the next day, first of all, there was no kumbaya, there was no Bible study, there was none of that. We was just kicking it, a bunch of guys in the woods. And I was like, okay, this
sounds
this
like a saved bachelor party.
Kinda. So then the next day, it's like, we going on the water.
Uh-huh.
I was like, okay. And you know, black, I don't know what that means. That didn't interpret to me. So we went on the water, and that's what they meant. We going on the water, we're gonna be there all day, and that is what we're doing.
Y'all on a boat?
Yeah, we was on a pontoon, I think is what they call it. And I was like, I'm good at swimming as long as I can touch the bottom, right? So you're not dragging me out there on that tire. I'm not doing that, that inflated tube. I'm not doing that. So really and truly, what am I doing? I'm sitting by the boat looking dumb, just sitting out there. We were out there for hours. And then, you know, you got to pee, and I'm like, hey, they're like, you better get in that water.
So it wasn't one of those boats that had a downstairs and a...
Girl, no.
Like
this is a bunch of guys, first of all. It's a bunch of guys.
Oh.
We got something to get out to the water.
Yeah.
And then get back to the shore.
I just came back from Miami a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, our boat...
Oh.
It had a bedroom.
Because you bougie.
A downstairs kitchen.
Because you bougie.
kitchen, a bathroom. Like, I don't know what kind of trip you were on.
I'm telling you, the guys, they had a ball. Me, I learned a lesson.
I loved being on a boat.
It's a difference.
Well,
some are ships and some are boats.
Yeah.
You got to know. You got to know what you're getting on.
It was so, for me, Cam, it was so relaxing that I was like, oh, this is the life.
Yeah.
Someone bring me some grapes.
Yeah, see, that's the life. That's not what I went on.
Yeah, it sounds like.
I think somebody might have raised a grill, and we got some hot dogs and hamburgers, but we was on that water all day long.
Oh.
Yeah, all day. All day.
I need a boat with amenities.
Right. I guess I'm bougie too.
I could be on a boat all day with the amenities, but what you were on.
But that was.
It sounds like one of them fishing boats to me.
I mean, it was.
Like a bigger fishing boat.
It was a big boat, but I mean, it wasn't doing nothing. You know, you get out there and park. And
where was the shade?
Well, we did park close to some trees, but I mean, come on, man.
Park close. So the boat did have a little. A little on.
But really, if I would have did that, I should not even gone. You know what I'm saying? So I at least got in the water with my feet. You know what I'm saying?
The water that you probably couldn't see your feet.
Right. And the whole point of going to this was about peeing. If you go to the lake and get in the water, you're getting.
I'm not getting in the
animal.
Water.
You're getting human. Yeah, you get all that.
I need to see where my body is going and who's around me.
Mm.
If it's not a fish. Even if it's a fish, I'm swimming somewhere else.
I know, right? That's crazy. All right. I think it's time for a coffee break.
Okay, so for today's coffee break, guys, I just want to say, to heal a wound, you need to stop touching it. Cam, there's several times where we get wounds, but if you continue to touch it, then it's going to take longer and longer to heal.
That's right.
And think about that in our personal lives, whether we've been wounded by a person or a family member, someone on the job. Sometimes you have to take a step back.
That's it.
Let that thing heal over then move on.
That's it, because you can't keep going back to the same situation expecting something different.
Yep.
And as long as you keep messing with that wound will never heal, and it has the option of becoming infected.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want that.
Right.
We want that to scab over and leave a mark. And there was a young lady on a show that I'm watching. The girl had double mastectomy, and she said, I feel like I am not a woman, that I'm maimed. And she said, no, you're a warrior, mm-hmm. and these are your marks to prove mm-hmm. it. So,
I like that.
Leave it alone. Let it scab.
Oh, Michael Jackson said, leave it alone. I know.
You know what?
I always know how to ruin you, the moment.
I know, right? We was all deep. But no, me and you, we got songs in our heads, and any
Listen,
little word would trigger.
Every time, if someone says a word, I start singing a song with
that
word in it.
I know. That's crazy.
I drive my staff crazy.
That's bad.
Because every day, all day, I'm singing a song.
You're crazy. All right. What's happening today on today's
okay,
show?
Today we have with us Julie Shields, who is a home visitor in our county.
Welcome, Julie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So Julie has been with the agency 18 long years. 18. That's a long time.
It is a long time.
Yeah. So let's get into it, Julie. So for those who don't know what a home visitor is, can you explain your role for Head Start being a home visitor?
I can. So our job is we're a parent educator. So we go into the home. A lot of times it's hard for us to get people to want to let us in their homes. But once we explain to them, you know, a lot of people think we're there to see their home, what it looks like. Once we explain to them what we're there for, they feel like we're there to be their child's teacher.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of how we have to get our foot in the door. And then the parent starts to feel comfortable with us, mm-hmm. and then we become their support system.
Gotcha.
A lot of times when you get there, you can have a whole lesson plan planned of what you're going to do, mm-hmm. you know, with the kids. And then you may get there and mom is, you know, got things going on and she needs somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
So if mom's not healthy and she's not happy, then, you know, she can't be a good mom.
Gotcha.
So a lot of times we listen to mom, mm-hmm. support her, you know, give her ways that, you know, we can support her.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we try to also leave her ways that she can feel that she's the child's first teacher.
Gotcha.
A lot of times our parents don't know,
mm-hmm.
Appropriate milestones, mm-hmm. for children to try and reach.
Yeah.
And then, so a lot of times, you know, every week we leave them an activity.
Right.
But a lot of times it's just small things that you see them doing at home, encouraging them to, you know, count or recognize the colors on their plate at supper time.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're a little bit of everything.
Gotcha.
Really.
Yeah.
Now that home visitor, that is a different aspect of education that I'm used to it now because I've been here for a minute, uh-huh. but I've never really understood, you know, a home visitor. Home visitor has a negative connotation associated with, I don't know, something else, looking in on a kid and make sure there's no abuse or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So a home visitor for a head start and getting in, why do we have the home visitor program when we have centers?
A lot of parents aren't ready to send their children to center base. A lot of them, some of them don't work, or maybe the center isn't, they're like, they work nights. I have one mom that works night shift. So we do an early morning visit and then she can go on, the baby's on her schedule. So then they can go on to bed. And, a lot of people though, really just, want, I'm going to say a lot of people, but most of my families just enjoy the support system,
mm-hmm.
of having, you know, somebody to come in to talk to. They don't have transportation to get out.
Right.
So we come to them. But they also enjoy getting together with other parents at our socializations that we do twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives them time to get out, meet other moms. You know, we'll have, in a small community, we have moms that get together and are like, I didn't know your child did this. And they may have another home visitor.
Yeah.
So it's nice for them to get together with other, mm-hmm. moms and let the kids play and socialize and interact. Mm-hmm. So we always tell them we're a little bit of everything. You know, you get to bring your child, so you get the interaction that you would get in the center.
Right.
But then you also get the one-on-one from a home visitor.
And we've had teachers on this show. We've had family staff on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the home visitor role is a merge of the two. Mm. Not only do they enroll the kids, share resources with families, but they also give them lesson plans and things to do. It's really, really teaching the parent how to be their child's first teacher.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, because, it, you know, like you said, some parents may not feel comfortable right up front, you know, releasing their child. And that's, you know, that's a process. That's a process you don't take lightly.
Especially after COVID, I think we saw several families that did not want to come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, throughout the program, we have a lot of times where parents do go back to work. And, you know, they're, mm-hmm. ready to go back to work. Usually once the kid's two, mom's, mm-hmm. kind of like, I think I'm ready to go back to work. So then that's when we transition them into the center. And, mm-hmm. I always let my families know, if you ever need center base, then you just let me know. We'll check and see the availability. And then we usually transition them in as we have an opening and they're ready to go. So that's another good thing that we use it as, a lot of times, I know people will say, if you'll do home base until there's an opening in center, then, yeah. you know, they'll get you, yeah. in. And so that's also a good time for that parent to transition and learning our program, mm-hmm. and the expectations. So then we usually have the child caught, you know, ready for their medical records, ready to go, and then they transition into the classroom.
So tell us, do you provide services for early Head Start or Head Start?
I'm early Head Start.
So with early Head Start, you know, a pregnant mom could also be enrolled. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So, with pregnant moms, we have the parents as teachers education that we give them, usually a handout and some, it usually is a description of like how they can handle stresses or, you know, their health and, mm-hmm. their importance of their nutrition and things like that. We always encourage them to get on WIC so that they can get the fruits and vegetables and those, mm-hmm. kind of things. And then we make sure they're going to their doctor visits. A lot of times, I've been to doctor visits with my families. They, mm-hmm. don't have anybody to go with them. So I've gone with them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my families that I've had in the years, sometimes I'm the first one to know that they're pregnant. So, you know, they message me and they're like, are you ready for another one? It's cool to build the bond with a pregnant mom and then see, you know, you get to see them grow until they transition to Head Start.
So once the mom has her baby, then what?
Once she has the baby, then we transition when the baby's 6 months into the child getting the services. So then it turns into the activities then go to mom. And a lot of our first activities are building a bond. So we always give them the information on the importance of building the bond with the baby in the beginning, because we don't want to see them go through the postpartum depression.
Yeah.
So we always try to give them the, you know, ways you can bond with your baby. And then the services then go to, you know, like I said, to the baby.
Gotcha.
And then they receive the activities and the lesson plans for them.
Gotcha.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and I'm going to ask a wonderful question. Which one do you like better, being a teacher or a home visitor? Find out the answer after this break.
This past year has highlighted the strength of Community Action Council. Every day, our staff works together to help families recover from this crisis. We're educating children at home and in person, helping parents who lost their jobs, and helping households avoid eviction. Our work at Community Action Council has never been more important than it is right now. So why not join us? We have employment opportunities requiring a range of skills from entry level to advanced. Apply online at commaction.com.
Community Action Council's Head Start programs are now enrolling for the 24-25 school year in 15 counties, including Lexington. Head Start offers high-quality early childhood education for qualifying families with children between the ages of 6 weeks and 5 years old. Spaces are limited and filling up quickly, so to help ensure your child receives the Head Start advantage this year, start your application today by calling 859-233-4600 or go online at comaction.org. That's commaction.org.
You are listening to Look Who's Talking, and we are talking with Julie Shields. She's a home visitor, and before the break, I asked her which one does she like better, and that's because it seems like they're doing the same thing, but in a totally different way. So, which one did you like better, being in the classroom or being a mobile classroom? How about that?
I guess I'm going to say home visiting. Even though we're still in the classrooms, with our flexibility that we have and when we're in the office, a lot of times we get pulled into the classroom to cover breaks or to help out. So you get your, and then you're like, oh, that's why I went home visiting. but I think the home visiting, because I also like to work with the families and see them reach their goals and things that, because, and just guide the moms, you know, to maybe break in the generational lack of knowledge in parenting.
Yeah. So you just mentioned goals. So tell us about some of the goals. You know, do you set goals with families? How do goals, how do you implement goals within the families you work with?
So when we're doing the phase in with the family, getting their paperwork together for the beginning of the year, I always ask them, you know, is there something in particular that you would like to see your family accomplish within the next 12 months? And sometimes they have a hard time answering that. But then where we have to answer, where we see, you know, their strength and their needs, then I usually try to see on their needs what maybe they need to, where I think they need to work on. But we usually pick a goal, and then they, a lot of times it can be anywhere from, you know, transitioning from a family of three to a family of four. Mom would like to go back to work. We've had some that are more involvement in their child's education. And that's kind of a tricky goal to not let the family know that's what their goal is, but it is because they've asked for help by doing the home-based program.
Right.
So I do love to see the families accomplish their goals, mm-hmm. And giving them the resources to reach their goals.
Got you. So did you have some?
No. Just that the goal setting is really an important aspect of the process in staying involved with the child. I think it's something that will spill over to once they're in kindergarten or, you know, beyond, that they will make a connection with staying connected with their child's growth mentally.
How many goals do you set with families?
For the family goal, we start with one. But that's not to say that they won't accomplish that goal throughout the year. And then once they accomplish it, then we set another goal.
Gotcha.
And as far as the kids, they have three goals. Mm-hmm. So then we set the goals for the kids, and then I always try to make sure their activity matches their goal.
Uh-huh.
And just give the moms ideas that they can do at home to just help their child reach. A lot of times we'll print off milestones and mm-hmm. give it to parents that they can kind of, oh, yeah, they do that. And I've noticed it makes them smile when they realize their child's doing the things that maybe the next month, you know, they're always like, oh, look, he's doing more than he should be. And I try to take credit for it.
Yeah. But,
I mean, in all honesty, it's mom.
So if someone came to you and said, I've heard about the home-based program, but I'm a little leery about it, how would you convince them or encourage them that this is a good program to be in?
Well, I always tell them, you're going to love me. That's just,
given.
And that's what I tell them. That's just an easy. But I always encourage them, you know, don't you want to be able to have more resources for them? You know, we can bring in some activities for you to do. A lot of times we'll pack like up some craft materials and leave it at the house for mom to do, because a lot of them don't have the money to buy the things that, you know, we have sitting back in the craft rooms.
Yeah.
So, but I always encourage them to give it a try. You mm-hmm. know, if you don't like it, then you can, you know, you can drop any time. But a lot of times we have kids that are on the wait list for center base. Mm-hmm. And we'll do home base until there's an opening. And it always shocks the family service worker when they say, we've decided to stay with home base.
Oh, wow.
So they're like, oh, okay. Because mm-hmm. I think they didn't plan on making a friend
mm-hmm.
and having a support system.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they don't have anybody in their corner, you know, telling them you can do this, you mm-hmm. know, or I can help you.
Because a lot of what you do is relationship building.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
And I think that's very important for not only supporting the family and the child, but really teaching them as you go throughout your journey through school or through education. It's important for these relationships to build.
It is. And for them to know they're their child's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without you, your child isn't going to get as far in their education without you there and being involved.
Right.
So, what county are you in again?
I'm in Harrison.
Harrison County. You've been there for a while. And that is a place where we have great roots, right? So, can you talk about how Community Action is in that community? The name recognition and the services that we provide.
Yes. Of course, a lot of people associate us with Head Start, and then the other is La Heap.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of times we as home visitors go door to door when we're looking for kids. We always have our flyers, and we're like, you know, have you ever? And I always start with, have you heard of Community Action? And sometimes the people who haven't heard about us are people who are new to our area.
Mm.
And so we're like, oh, okay, well, we have this program. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, we didn't have any idea that, you know, this was available to us. And we actually found a family door to door one year who had lived in Ohio, and she had received Head Start services in Ohio, and she had no idea that Harrison County had a Head Start mm-hmm. As well. So we were able to get all three of her kids enrolled into the program. So that was just a door to door by chance. She was sitting on the porch drinking coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So she was new to the area, and we've helped her branch out and learn, you know, what obviously Head Start does, but La Heap services. And then we've helped her get involved with other agencies in the community.
Mm-hmm. So if you had some last words for those who are viewing about Head Start, and you know, the positivity of Head Start, what would you say?
I think you'll never be sorry with Head Start, because we have the best teachers. We have the best, we're expected to be the best. Mm-hmm. And so you will never regret, you know, taking a chance on it. And even home base, you know, because I have families that I've had for years who I see in town, you know, and they still, you know, come up and speak to me. I've had one family for 7 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
They just, there's a bond.
Yeah.
That, mm-hmm. that, you know, you're never sorry for making that jump. Mm-hmm.
So what's a day in the life look like for you?
So we always confirm our visits the day before, you know, just to make sure we're good for a visitor, even that morning. We usually pack a bag with a few toys in it to keep the kids entertained, get the lesson plans. Usually we plan in the mornings or Mondays, get our lesson plans together, get our parent educator notes and things. And then you have everything all ready to go and load up the car and head out. And then you may be back that day. You may not be back that mm-hmm. day, but, mm-hmm. And each visit is an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. So we usually, you know, get there, you know, how was your day? How was your week? Tell me what's going on since I've seen you last. And then, you know, we do catch up and then we, go over the lesson plan. We, you know, work with the kids. Of course they want to play, you mm-hmm. know, and I always make them do the flashcards of colors and shapes and all that stuff on our school rings that we have. Mm-hmm. So, and then you load up and go on to the next one. Mm-hmm. So, you learn what public restrooms are nice while you're at it.
Right, right, exactly.
But it's a rewarding job because, mm-hmm. you know, like when you get there and the kids see you come in, see you outside, they're, you know, they automatically smile and start waving out the window. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, oh, they're happy to see, you know, they're happy yeah. to see you. So
have you come in contact with any of the kiddos that you had like years ago?
I have some of theirs.
Oh, wow. So yes. You have some of your kids now.
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
One of my favorites I love to tell is we were at Texas Roadhouse eating one night, and I recognized a little boy right away. And he was like, I don't think I know you, but my mom might. So I was like, okay, well, you'll have to ask her. And so next time we went in, he was like, I asked mom. Yeah, she said she knew you. So then the next week we went in, and his sister was working. And I was like, would you happen to be so-and-so's brother? He was like, she's like, yeah, that's my brother. And I said, well, you probably don't remember this, but I had you. And she said, you're Miss Julie. I'll never forget you. And I was like, oh, that's why I love
yeah,
this
yeah. Right.
And to be honest, that it takes a lot to bring people in our house. Jessica and I, we was having a conversation a while ago about how many people have you had over to your house. So that's a intimate setting that you're invited in. So you're more than a teacher when you're coming into someone's house.
Yeah.
They have to trust you and enjoy your company because you're invited in their home. So at home visitor is building relationships in the community that will last beyond their child in the program. So
yes.
Kudos to you. And
thank you.
Kudos to the home visitor program.
Yes.
You got any last words for our listeners? You know, you might want to tell them, you know, where you work and how to get in.
Oh, I can tell you that.
How about that?
I'm in Harrison County. And then, of course, if you're interested in our program, we are, obviously, we're on Facebook. That's what I always tell people. Look us up on Facebook and you'll find us. So
that's it. You're interested in receiving some of these services? Give us a call at 859-233-4600. They will get you to where you need to be.
Yes.
Thank you, Julie, for being on the show.
Thanks, Julie.
It's been a blast. You have been listening to Look Who's Talking.